Today we want to continue from last week. We want to think of crown him Lord of all, and this will be part two. And our verses that we're going to use are from Colossians 1, 18 and 19. There's a song that I'm sure that probably most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. And then verse 3, let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. There's a day coming when every angelic being and every believer since Pentecost will stand before God and praise him and worship him. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, we read, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then we read in chapter 5 of Revelation, starting with verse 8, And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, that's Jesus, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of incense, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and lo, the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I sing, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. But before that day, when we who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior shall stand and before the throne of God and worship him, before that day, each day of our lives here on earth, we should crown him Lord of all. Crown him Lord of all of our lives. Paul presents two reasons why we should. And last week we looked at the fact that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. He created the earth and he created man. And we should thank him and praise him for that. And today we want to think of, we should crown him Lord of all because Christ is the head of the church, the body of Christ. And in verse 18 we read, And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, as we think of the church here, we're not thinking of the local church. We're thinking of every believer, the whole body of believers from Pentecost until now make up the true church. Now, there are many images of this church in the New Testament, and the body is the one that's the most important. No denomination or local assembly can claim to be the body of Christ, for that body, as we said, is composed of all true believers in Jesus Christ. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their Savior by faith, they are immediately placed by the Holy Spirit into this body. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all placed into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into or of one Spirit." That's the Holy Spirit, of course. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the Bible speaks of is not water baptism that we do when we baptize new believers. This is the Holy Spirit placing the believer, the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are placed into the body of Christ. And that's what the Bible speaks of as the baptism of the Spirit. And this takes place the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Each Christian is a member of this spiritual body, the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the head. In the Greek language, the word head meant source and origin, and also meant leader and ruler. Now, Jesus Christ is the source of the church, his body, and the leader. You see, Jesus died for our sins and paid the penalty on Calvary's cross so that it might be possible for us to belong to him and be a part of the body, the true church. And Jesus Christ is also the leader. Paul called him the beginning, which tells us that Jesus Christ has priority in time as far as his church is concerned. Now, the term beginning can be translated originator. No matter which name you select, it will affirm the preeminence of Jesus Christ in the church. The church had its origin in Christ, and today it has its operation in him. As the head of the church, Jesus Christ supplies it with life through his Spirit. He gives gifts to believers and then places these gifted people in his church that they might serve him wherever they can and wherever they are needed. Through his word, the Bible, Jesus Christ nourishes and cleanses the church. No believer on earth is the head of the church. This position is reserved exclusively for Jesus Christ. Various religious leaders may have founded certain local churches or denominations, but only Jesus Christ is the founder of the true church, which is his body, the body of Christ. The church is composed of all new believers, and again, it was born at Pentecost. That's when it began. It was then that the Holy Spirit came down to indwell every believer that was there following Jesus' ascension. And he baptized the believers into that body, the body of Christ, the true church. The fact that there is one body in this world does not eliminate or minimize the need for local churches, for local bodies of believers. The fact that I belong to the universal church does not release me from my responsibilities to serve the Lord Jesus in the local church. We cannot minister to the whole body of Christ, but we can strengthen and build the church by ministering to God's people in a local church, in a local assembly. Now, Jesus Christ, remember, is the head of the church, and he's the beginning of the church, the one that started it, and he is also the firstborn from the dead. We saw this word back in verse 15. And Paul did not say that Jesus was the first person to be raised from the dead, for he was not. Through the Old Testament, there was several people that had died and God raised them from the dead. But Jesus Christ is the most important of all who have ever been raised from the dead. For without his death, burial, and resurrection, there could be no resurrection of believers. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, we read, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept," or them that died as believers. It seems odd that Paul would use the word born in connection with death, for the two concepts seem opposed to each other. But the tomb was, so to speak, a womb from which Christ came forth in victory, for death and the grave could not hold Christ. The Son was begotten in resurrection glory. This brings us to the theme of this entire section, that in all things he, Christ, might have the preeminence. This was God's purpose in making his Son the Savior, the Creator, and the head of the church. The word translated preeminence is used nowhere else in the whole New Testament. It is related to the word translated firstborn, and it magnifies the unique position of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 11, the last part of verse 11, Colossians 3, the last part of verse 11, it says, "Christ is all and in all. He is over all, and therefore we should give him the preeminence." In conclusion, in 1893, the World's Columbian Exposition was held in Chicago, and we are told that more than 25 million people visited the exhibits. Now, I don't know how long that Columbian Exposition lasted, but again, we are told that more than 21 million people visited the exhibits. Among the features was a world parliament of religions with representatives from the different world religions. They were meeting to share their what they believed in their individual religions and the best points of their religions, and they were hoping that perhaps they could come up with a new religion for the world. Evangelist D.L. Moody saw this as a great opportunity for evangelism, and he used churches and he rented theaters and even rented a circus tent to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. His friends wanted Moody to attack the Parliament of Religions, to tell them that they were all wrong, that their religion that they believed in was false. But he refused. He said, "I am going to make Jesus Christ so attractive that men will want to turn to Jesus." And Moody knew that Jesus Christ was the preeminent Savior and not just one of many religious leaders in history. The Chicago campaign, or that time when Moody spread the gospel and preached and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, was probably the greatest evangelistic endeavor that of D.L. Moody's life. And we are told that thousands of people received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior under D.L. Moody's ministry during that campaign. Now again, if we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then Christ is the preeminent one. He's the only one that can forgive our sins and give us everlasting life. And we should daily praise Him and crown Him Lord of our lives. And by the way we live, and by the way we serve Him, others should be able to see that we know the Lord and that we love Him and that we faithfully live for Him and serve Him, and that He means everything to us more than anything else in the whole world. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He died for us, that He offered us the forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And Lord, I thank You that each one of us who have received Jesus as our personal Savior have been made a part of the body of Christ, the true church. And I pray, Father, that daily we would not only love Him and live for Him and serve Him, but that our lives would be filled with joy and praise, and that we would truly crown Him Lord of all of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.